ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Corbin Middlemass here. The Ashes were awesome, but they are over. The good news is the cricket keeps rolling as the focus shifts to the T20 World Cup. Australia is trying to climb back to the top, India is looking all powerful, and England is trying to turn Ashes shame into T20 glory. And did we mention the backroom power struggles? The ABC Cricket Podcast is dropping every Monday and Friday as former opener Ed Cowan joins me to pull apart the juiciest storylines in the game. Search for ABC Cricket Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, Jules and Jez here, back with a bonus episode of Not Stupid. Jules, I've been slightly obsessed with this chef slash comedian.
Tell me.
Online. His name is Daniel McCauley. He's Canadian. Yeah. And he's, for some time now, posted recipes online, but he's got this new series out that I've been slightly obsessed with. It's called Meals I've Cooked for Men Who Absolutely Weren't Worth It. And it's got beautiful pictures of incredible food.
Wow.
With captions about the people
that they
served
didn't.
It to. Yeah.
Like they didn't, like they turned out to be duds or they just didn't appreciate the meal.
Listen to this. Okay. Magret du canard with polenta and caramelized shallots. The man, 24-year-old fitness influencer. The outcome, he gave me strep. So that was over. This one, crispy pork belly with garlicky Swiss chard. The man, 21-year-old college student. The outcome, he drank 5 vodka sodas and puked on my shoes. This one, spicy dill chicken wings. The man, 36-year-old doctor. The outcome, his toupee came off in my hand.
Oh.
Bless.
I think I saw that at someone in the at the Winter Olympics, their toupee coming off.
No, really?
I'm going to look that up while I'm on the phone to you. Winter Olympics. How much would that, you know, and the reason that I was interested in it, well, apart from the obvious, is that I just read Andre Agassi's biography, Open, and he talks about how he was so known for his hair. He used to wear these hair pieces. When he was playing tennis, like top, you know, that's headband, then he would stick it in. And Brooke Shields was like, mate, no.
And he actually looks really good with...
with shaved hair.
Shaved head.
Like me, totally. In the end.
Yeah. Here's another one, Jules, while you're while you're Googling. Here's another one.
Yeah.
White wine muscles. The man, 37-year-old hairdresser. The outcome, he drove me to his chalet 1 hour outside town. Then at 10 p.m. asked how I was getting home.
Oh, what? Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. No, sorry. It was a boxer. It wasn't the Winter Olympics. Heavyweight boxer Jared Miller's toupee was knocked off his head while fighting in Madison Square Garden. Look at that. Look, there's the photo. Ooh. Look, it's a risk, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a risk with the toupee.
Yeah.
Jez, tell us why you love this so much.
I just love it because I just find the lack of math.
Someone throwing up in your shoe. That, to me, strikes me as like kind of some dates gone quite wrong.
Yes.
But I am really interested in the idea about whether or not people are getting ruder. Like since Greek times, people have said young people.
These days.
Very
back
rude.
In my day.
Appreciate. But I did notice after COVID, I have to say, signs in the doctor's office, at a bank, in the airport, do not abuse staff. It came up everywhere and actually on automated like phone lines, it would be like, hey, your call is really important to us. Mm. Not, but do not, you know, please be polite and appreciative to staff or whatever. And so I'm like, is something going on here?
Do you think it's a COVID thing or do you think it's a social media thing? In my mind, I've always traced it to the kind of behavior online,
yes,
the faceless kind of contact and interaction you have with people kind of bleeding into real life.
Yes, I think that it definitely, we see it in social media, but I think that apparently it just got a lot worse after COVID. It was actually related to it. There was some, let me have a look, because Jackie Maley, who writes for Nine, interviewed people about the link between COVID and rude behaviour. And there was a former Queensland police officer, Scott Harris, who runs a consultancy training retail workers on how to de-escalate situations. And he said that COVID marked a shift in terms of attitudes towards retail workers people were struggling with being isolated, and there was a loss of respect and empathy and kindness towards people in the real retail sector, and just that there was just a breakdown of social bonds. They were more protective, more fearful of their neighbours. But Jez, I want to talk about the actual evidence that it is happening in real life. There was a report that came out at the end of last year in December by Australia's Shop Distributive and Allied Employees Association that did document there had been a surge in violence, including physical, against retail and fast food workers. 88% of workers reported being verbally abused in the last 12 months. 25% faced physical violence, 19% sexual harassment, 31% abuse related to ethnicity, race or cultural background. And in Woolworths, in that 1 year alone, there had been a 26% increase in violent incidents. There's also been physical and verbal attacks on bus drivers. That's increased by 80% since 2022. I find this worrying, and I can't quite exactly work out what's going on. There was discussion of this on Reddit where they said disproportionate escalation from annoyance to violence, people have no self-control, mass entitlement and selfishness, main character syndrome, mass narcissism. Bridget Delaney wrote a good piece about this in The Guardian. I just am really puzzling about it, Jez. Like, what do you reckon is going on?
Well, when you have a question like that, Jules, let's ask a criminologist, Associate Professor Xanthi Mallett. So she's got this theory. People are more self-protective now, she says. There's been a general breakdown of some of those social bonds, as during the pandemic, people literally became fearful of their neighbours, and people take a long time to get over that. So there's something to be said here for the kind of disruption psychologically that was caused by the pandemic, still sort of ringing through our times today. And she links the sovereign citizen movement of kind of hyper-individualism, anti-authoritarianism, and an assortment of extremist right-wing ideologies to this same kind of post-COVID social fraying.
Okay, I've got another question for you. Have you ever found yourself on the phone? Now, I know you're a polite and respectful gentleman.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever found yourself really about to crack it when you're trying to get something solved?
Yeah. So when you're trying to get something solved on the phone, most of the time these days, you're not actually talking to Jeremy Fernandez.
Did you say...
I'm sorry.
Did you say Bob McDonald?
No. Okay. Please say your name again. And on it goes. And by the time you get to that point where you've actually reached a real person, you're just...
So when I read a little bit of this and these corporations putting signs up and saying, just be patient, it's like, okay, how efficient are you being at answering calls, at getting things done? How's your staffing levels here? Are you actually meeting the needs of your customers? Now, we saw those signs everywhere in airports after COVID. What was happening in the airline industry? People were having their credits cancelled. There were incredibly inflated prices. There was a whole lot of dissatisfaction with what was actually going on. And so what happens is, you can't speak to nameless, faceless people back in HQ. There'll be these encounters with, it'll be the people on the front lines are bearing the brunt of it.
Yeah.
But it's not
journey to the point of frustration.
100%. And sometimes some corporations do have systems in place where you have to speak to a whole lot of people and it gets increasingly frustrating. I was stuck in a car park the other day.
Stuck in a car park.
All of my incidents are so glamorous. So I'm stuck in this car park. I'm trying to get out. I was with my brother and it was like a medical center. There were all these like doctors and stuff there. And someone had put their credit card in to where you put the ticket.
Oh.
The machine was no longer functioning. But to get something, and meanwhile, this line is forming up behind them. A lot of them would be doctors, nurses, emergency people trying to see patients. It's like literally 30 cars all lined up and going. Finally, she gets through. It's a whole drum, and it lifts it up, lets her through, back down again. But the machine's broken. So the next person goes through all this rigmarole. Then by the time I got there, and I tried to go up to another, we cannot get out of this thing. It was kind of interesting to me because obviously the system they had in people was that. I mean, the business model, sure, looked really great.
Yeah.
We'll just have some people in an office. I don't know where dealing with 50 car parks. When there was a real problem, they could not solve it. And that could have been a medical friggin' disaster. My point being, yeah, I do think there's been a bit of a dissolving in terms of people being rude, certainly online. And I hate that this abuse is coming out and like assaulting retail workers. What the hell? And
no, if you're that's supermarket, nuts.
What
yeah,
the hell?
Yeah.
But I do think there's questions of accountabilities for some of these corporations that are just really incredibly inefficient and incompetent, which unfortunately is actually enraging. But Bridget does talk about how to deal with it. She had some solutions, Jez, because she's written a lot about stoicism.
Yeah, I look.
Okay. Wait, hang on. I want to hear this. I want to hear it.
I just kind of think when I'm on. But this is what she says. Look, I think these are best digested when you're kind of calm of mind and not immediately confronted with an emergency yeah. that you're trying to deal
it's
with.
It's true, but, though. Like, I do. Yeah, yeah, go on.
Get comfortable with discomfort and inconvenience. Just accept it's part of life and just kind of pull your pants up and deal with it.
I agree with that so yes. hard, especially when you travel. You can tell a good traveler from a bad traveler because if a flight is delayed, something happens that's out of your control, something, then that person will just go up and smoke or like be really grumpy. And a good traveler would be like, okay.
Yeah. Do you know what I do when I travel? And I did this recently at Christmas time.
Yeah.
I will, because you know I love a spreadsheet and I love being organized and, you know.
Mate, I never hear the end of it, honestly.
But I will schedule in time for things to go wrong.
How much time?
Like just depending on what, you know, if it's a flight, I will give myself like a 3-hour buffer to get from A to B. And if the flight gets delayed, da, 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 we've got time here to miss the train, miss the flight.
This is why people are always early or on time.
I wasn't on time today.
I beat you. Wasn't it great? Yeah. What if something went wrong with your spreadsheet?
Oh, there are multiple spreadsheets. Oh. So they're available on multiple devices.
Well,
some offline, some online. Yeah.
You allow for inconvenience.
Allow
inconvenience
for inconvenience.
Hour?
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah,
yep.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Have a strategy for managing anger. Sometimes when you feel a sharp sense of fear and injustice, for instance, someone is driving aggressively and putting you in danger, anger can arise quickly and feel impossible to stop. But when you feel anger in the pit of your stomach, notice it and treat it as a sign to pause.
Do you get angry when you drive?
I don't drive very much.
I actually don't get angry, and I like to try to make sure to like let people in and stuff. But you know what? I just want a wave,
a wave
of recognition.
Okay. Yeah,
I just want
yeah.
people to go, thank you, you've let me in.
I notice I get frustrated when I'm, you know, if I'm driving and I'm kind of trying to get somewhere and I'm already running late. So the strategy for me is to kind of just leave the house early. Because that will just take the pressure off that, you know, I can drive slower, not.
You're so right.
Yeah. You're looking crestfallen and beaten. I don't know. That was not meant to have this effect.
Right. Like, you know, they call people, look, as you know, every now and then I'm a little bit flexible with time. And they call it like TIDS optimism or something or time blindness, but it's actually an optimism about time. So I always think, right. Yeah. I remember I got there in 20 minutes once. I'll think they'll get through the traffic lights,
yeah.
There'll be fuel in the car, there'll be no problem, and I'll just – and then one of those things doesn't work out. You're like,
but some days,
darn look, it.
I mean, things go wrong for me too, right? All the time, actually, yeah. All the time,
apparently.
Despite my efforts.
Yeah.
But then sometimes don't you just go, okay, the rest of the day can go to hell. I'm like, yeah. I'm not keeping to anything anymore. Like I'm just giving today away. To the gods.
When that happens, can you call me? Because I want to have one of your day to
Jeremy,
let's smash
you need
some
to be
cocktails.
Stoic.
And there's something fun about just losing it, though.
Bit of stoic and vodka.
Stoic and vodka. Oh, dear. The best revenge, says Marcus Aurelius, is to be unlike him who performed the injustice. Hard not to. Someone flips you the bird. Look, I do really agree with that whole thing, though, of just honestly trying to imagine just what someone else might be going through in their life. And I know that's kind of almost a cliched thing to say, but have you ever been like really down or distressed or you're dealing with something really heavy and then some random stranger is mean to you? Have you ever thought, if you only knew what just happened to me?
Yes, that's very true. 100%.
You would
right.
not do that. Yes. And you almost want to tell them.
Yes.
Dude, really?
No, sometimes when people start crying, right? They're kind of.
Yes.
You know, like you can see the break is just so close to the surface and then they crack.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, I should just step back here.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. That is definitely the bigger way to be. And every now and then you see people, like I feel like we see random rude stuff all the time, but we also can see random really beautiful things.
Yes.
Which can blow you away. I was talking to an Uber driver recently who said that he saved a, it was a possum maybe that had been hit recently, and he got out of the car and he came back and the girls in the back of the car were like crying because they hadn't seen someone do that in real life.
Oh, wow.
Be kind like that. Oh. You know what I mean? And my friend Kath Keenan,
yes,
wrote a piece in The Guardian.
Love Kath.
She's the greatest. We've both got teenage boys born like 2 weeks apart. And she wrote this story about, and she starts off by talking about adolescence leaves its mark on everyone, but for my son, the marks have been particularly obvious. He's had so many casts. He loves electric bikes. He loves them to go fast. He's had a broken arm, broken hand, broken leg, cuts, grazes, but it's made him a great delivery guy for Domino's.
Right.
But
sounds like a liability, but
yeah, that's... but he's saved up all his money to take a girl out on a date.
Oh,
to a place sweet. In Potts Point in Sydney. And she said, like, it was a really big deal. She goes, "This girl is smart and kind with a smile as wide as the moon. They are at school together, and the only time," this is Kath writing, "the only time he has ever engaged me in conversation about a novel was when she was within earshot." Anyway, so he took her out to this restaurant, a really chic, expensive restaurant in Potts Point. Tables are small, and she said the waiters, mostly Italian, make you feel you're all together part of this, and but they didn't dare order much. They shared some olives to start and one lasagna for main. And they barely drank, but they talked and laughed, had a lovely time. And so when her son went to pay, the waiter told him that the woman who had sat at the table next to theirs had paid $100 of their bill. She was by herself.
Wow.
And they hadn't exchanged a single word with her.
Wow.
She said she must have heard quite a lot of their conversation, but with the obliviousness of young lovers, they had barely noticed her. All my son could remember was she was blonde and middle-aged. And Kath ends by thanking this woman for doing that and making it such a special night for them. And she says, "My son will probably never tell me much about this relationship. I've thought often about how much I would love to have sat there as you did, listening to snippets of their conversation just to see how they are with each other when they think no one is watching. So it makes my heart full to think that whatever you heard them say that night, it moved you enough to do something so spontaneously kind and generous."
What a blessed little window.
Isn't that? Does anyone know that woman? I want to find her.
I can almost picture her, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
What a sweet thing to do.
Yes.
And also to know that, you know, you're earning like minimum wage at Domino's, and a night like that at a restaurant is a big deal, and they were probably apportioning the olives, the lasagna. So people can be absolutely gorgeous sometimes.
Love it. Well, that's a very beautiful note to end on.
If anyone's got any acts like that that they've seen that they want to, or heard about that they want to tell us about, I would love to hear more about those. And they can email us at notstupid@abc.net.au.
Our producers are Madeline Jenner and Cinema Nipard. Jules, very nice to catch up again. See you, darling.
Bye, doll.